Chapter 8, Dinosaur Brain. It turned out to be a cool summer. I figured we'd get in trouble for running into the pond. It looked bad for a while when the cops drove us home and I got out all soaking wet and covered with gook. And when Grim was hosing me down, he had a really pruny look on his face, like he was smelling something bad. But the cops made it out like I was a hero or something, rescuing the poor crippled midget kid. So Grim listens to the cops and then he gives me this weird look like, imagine my surprise, and he goes in the house, and then Graham comes running out in her nightgown with this big fluffy towel, and she makes a fuss. Me rescuing Freak? What a joke, right? Except that's how it must have looked from a distance, because they never knew it was Freak who rescued me, or his genius brain and my big dumb body. Graham is there rubbing me with a towel, and her hands are shaking, and she's saying, oh, how I saw those blue lights and I thought the worst. And Grim is behind her looking at me real intense and shaking his head. And he's saying, who'd have thunk it, Mabel? Which is some kind of joke, and because Graham's name isn't Mabel. Anyhow, they take me inside and the first thing Graham does is give me a bowl of ice cream. And Grim, he keeps shaking his head and he goes, what this young man needs is a cup of coffee. Real coffee. And then he gets busy putting the filter in the machine and measuring out the coffee and standing by while it drips through. And he's got this stern look like he's thinking deep thoughts. By the time I polish off the ice cream, Grim is handing me a cup of coffee and a china cup from the set they never use. He gives me that cup like it's really a big deal. Maybe because I'm not allowed to drink coffee yet. And he's so grim-like and serious. I open my mouth to say, what's the big deal? You really think it's my first cup of coffee? Yeah, right. And something happens, and the words come out, thank you, sir. It's like I'm possessed or something. I have no idea where the things I'm saying are coming from or why. I go, thanks for the towel, Graham, and the ice cream. Could I have a sugar in the coffee? 2 teaspoons, please? And Grim claps his hands together, and he says, of course you can, son. And it's like, whoa, because he never calls me that. Always Max or Maxwell or that boy. Next thing, he's clearing his throat and coughing into his fist. And Grandma's looking at the two of us and she's getting this Graham-like glow. Like, this is how it's supposed to be. The way things always happen on the Wonder Years. With the family getting all gooey and sentimental about some numb thing the bratty kid did while he's having all this wonderful years, or whatever. Graham says, I want you to promise me something, Maxwell, dear. Promise me you'll keep away from that hoodlum boy and his awful friends. Nobody got hurt this time, but I shudder to think what might have happened. And Graham blessed his pointed little head. He goes, Maxwell can handle himself, can't you, Max? Right, Max, not son, which is okay by me. I can run, I say to Graham. I see Tony D. That's what I'll do. Good boy, Graham says. I thought because you were so much bigger than he is. Well, you just do that, dear. You run away. He's not running away, Grim says, real impatient. He's taking evasive action, avoiding a confrontation. That's a very different thing, right, Max? I nod and drink my coffee without slurping and decide it's better not to mention that Tony D carries a knife and he's probably got guns. Because then Graham would only worry and she's such a clunker when she's worried. Like I said, it turns out to be pretty cool summer. Usually what I do is just hang around and look at my comic books and watch the tube and go shopping with Graham if she really makes a fuss. I hate the beach because the beach is stupid. The cool crowd looking sleek and tan, and aren't we gorgeous? And because if you saw me lying on a blanket, you go, hey, what is that albino walrus wearing sunglasses? So mostly I just vegetate in the basement and pick my navel, to quote Grimm, Mr. Belly Button Lint himself. Freak changes all of that. Each and every morning, the little dude humps himself over and he bangs on my bulkhead. Wonka, wonka, wonka. He may be small, but he sure is noisy. Get out of bed, you lazy beast. There are fair maidens to rescue, dragons to slay. Which is what he says every single morning. Exactly the same thing. until it's like he's an alarm clock, and as soon as I hear the wonka 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 of him beating the bulkhead, I know what's coming next. Fair maidens and dragons, and freak with that wake up the world grin of his going, hurry up with the cereal. How can you eat that much? You big ox, come on, let's do something. He's so full of everyday energy, you can practically hear his brain humming, and he never can sit still. Ants in the pants, I say one morning when he's ready to yank the cereal bowl off the table. He's in such a hurry to do something, and he goes, what? And I go, you must have ants in your pants. And he gets this funny look, and he goes, that's what the fair Gwyn always says. Did she tell you to say that? And I shake my head and finish the cereal real slow. And Freak goes, for your information, there are 2,247 known species of Hymenopteran insects, Latin name Formicide, and none of them are in my pants. Which cracks me up, even though I don't understand a word he is saying. I propose a quest, he says. We shall journey far to the east and see what lies there. By now, I know what a quest is, because Freak has explained the whole deal and how it started with King Arthur trying to keep all his knights busy by making them do things that proved how strong and brave and smart they were, or sometimes how totally numb, because how else can you explain dudes running around inside big clunky tin cans and praying all the time? Which I don't mention to Freak because he's very sensitive about knights and quests and secret meanings. Like how a dragon isn't really just a big, slimy, fire-breathing monster. It's a symbol of nature or something. A dragon is fear of the natural world, Freak says. An archetype of the unknown. I go, what's an archetype? And Freak sighs and shakes his head and reaches into his knapsack for his dictionary. This is true. He really does keep a dictionary in his knapsack. It's his favorite book, and he pulls it out like Arnold Schwarzenegger pulling out a machine gun or something that fierce when he gets with his book in his hand. Go on, he says, making me take the book, look it up, and now I wish I hadn't said anything about this archetype dude because I hate looking up stuff in this stupid dictionary. Starts with an A, he says. I know that. A-R, he says. I go along the A's until I come to the A-R. Yeah, right. Easy for a genius to use the dictionary since he already knows how to spell the words. And R's never look like backward E's to Freak, which is the way they look to me sometimes unless I really squint and think about it. Careful, he says. You'll bite off your tongue and then we'll have to waste the day at the emergency room getting it reattached. Microsurgery is such a bore. Didn't anybody ever tell you that? Huh? I say. But I do close my mouth so my tongue doesn't stick out. I'm still looking for the dictionary for archetype, and I'm looking for words that are underlined with red ink, because that's what Freak does the first time he looks up a word. He makes a line under it, and you'd be amazed how many are underlined. There are whole pages like that, where he's looked up every single word. Finally spells out all the letters for me, and I find the stupid word. There's nothing about dragons here, I say, squinting hard at all the stuff under the word. It just says pattern. So it's a sewing type of thing. Freak has this disgusted look on his face, and he takes the dictionary and he goes, you're hopeless. Pattern is the first definition. I was referring to the second definition, which is a much more interesting, a universal symbol or an idea in the psyche, expressed in dreams or dreamlike images. Like, that helps, right? I'm getting bored with the dictionary, so I pretend to understand, and Freak finally gives up, and he shakes his head, and he goes, I don't know why I bother. Dinosaurs had brains the size of peanuts, and they ruled the earth for hundreds of millions of years.